I wonder if I was to ask you what Bible stories you remember from Sunday school, what lists you would come up with. We would probably come up with David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den. Any others? Jonah, yes, well done, yes, yeah. It wouldn't be too long until the story of Jonah and the whale appeared in our list. It's one of those stories that we know so well. And from early days, we have seen the pictures in our children's Bibles. We've heard the story. It's just one of those stories that we're very, very familiar with. But it's also one of those stories that is very easy to become sidetracked in. Because when you mention Jonah, you automatically mention the whale. It's Jonah and the whale. It's Jonah and the big fish. In the whole drama of the book of Jonah, this big fish has, I was going to say, has a walk-on part. He's got a swim-on part, actually, but he just appears and then disappears. He's not really central to what's going on in the book. And yet, we get so caught up on this big fish, on this whale. The story of the book of Jonah is the story of God's gracious concern for everyone. Not just for a small select group of people, but for everyone. God shows his concern for all. And it's also the story of someone who refused to obey the Maker's instructions. Someone who thought he knew better and just did whatever he wanted to do. Refused to play his part in showing God's love for this world. Now, we don't actually know a great deal about Jonah either. We know from verse 1 that he was the son of Amittai. And if you go back to 2 Kings, you find out that Jonah, son of Amittai, was born in a place called Gath-Hepher. But that's about all we know about Jonah, except that God called him to be a prophet. What's the important thing about Jonah? Was it who his dad was? Was it what village he came from? Or was it that God spoke to him clearly and called him? God gave him a purpose for his life. We don't need to be distracted with lots of details about who Jonah is. Sometimes what God wants us to do is not clear. We wish it was clear. We wish God would put up a neon light somewhere that we could read, Stephen, this is what I want from you. This is the way forward. This is what I have for you. We wish it would be up on the screen so that we could see it clearly and plainly and we would know where we're headed for. We look for guidance. We debate what God means in Scripture. And sometimes Scripture seems ambiguous. Sometimes it's not terribly clear what it means. But that's not the case here. It's not the case for Jonah. God simply says to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, it's crystal clear. There's not really any room for debate or discussion. I wonder what God meant when he said, go. Did he really mean go? I wonder what God meant when he talked about the city of Nineveh. Was it really, really that Nineveh? There's no room for discussion. God simply says, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, preach in Nineveh. There really isn't a lot to debate. Mark Twain, the American author, once said that it wasn't the parts of the Bible he didn't understand that caused him problems. It was the parts of the Bible he did understand that caused him problems because he knew what to do. That's Jonah's case here. It's not that he didn't understand. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and that caused him problems. And as we walk through the book of Jonah, we'll discover a little bit more about why. God simply says, Jonah, go. Isn't it an interesting thing? That in obeying God, it's always verbs that are used. It's active words. God says, go. Jesus says, leave your nets, follow me. We're expected to do something. We're expected to move in response to those maker's instructions. It's not a passive thing. It's not just a hearing what's going on and simply saying, well, whatever, and sitting back. It's hearing what God is saying to us and answering in action in our lives. It requires change. It requires response. It requires often for us to move out of our little comfort zone. And this is what Jonah was struggling with. Lord, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Not to those people. And God says, go to Nineveh. Clearly. Jonah, you're going to go out of your comfort zone. Lots of reasons why. He obviously wants Jonah to go and take a message, because the people of Nineveh need that. But more than that, he wants Jonah to grow. Jonah, I want you to see a bigger picture here. I want you to move. I want you to go. I want you to go even to people you'd rather not even think about, because there you will grow. The Christian faith is all about growing. Peter puts it this way when he simply says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not stay the same in your grace, in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It's not hold on to what you had yesterday or the day before. It's grow in it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Jonah, it's not enough simply to sit in Gath Hepher and sing God's praise. I want you to grow. I want you to get up and to go and move out of your comfort zone and be obedient to your Maker's instructions. Often we find the Christian life frustrating. We just know there's more to be had. We know there's more to be done. We know there's more joy to experience. We know there are deeper truths to discover, but we don't step out. We stay, if you like, in the shallow water, and we never bother wading out deeper into the faith to discover what God has for us. Somebody once said, if you only do what you've always done, you'll only get what you've always got. That makes sense. If you only do what you've always done, you'll only get what you've always got. Jonah, if this is all you want, then that's it. That's what you'll get. You'll experience no growth, Jonah. You'll experience no more of the depths of my love for you. You will experience nothing more of what it means to trust me, Jonah. You'll just stay the same. You'll just get what you've always got because you're doing what you've always done. Jonah, step out. Step out. Growing and changing is a sign of life. If our children fail to grow and to change and develop and mature, we get worried, and rightly so. And yet somehow, as in our Christian lives, we forget about that. We're quite happy just staying the same. But growth and developing and maturing as Christian people is a sign of spiritual life. And that determination to not only hear the instructions of our Maker, but to follow them, leads to growing in our Christian lives. As God moves us on, as God pushes us forward in our lives. Well, Jonah hears very clearly what God has said. Jonah hears God say to him, go to Nineveh, the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. Go to Nineveh, Jonah. Clear. But as we all know, it's not what Jonah did. Go to Nineveh would have meant traveling east. Jonah instead travels west to Tarshish. We're not terribly sure where Tarshish is, probably in Spain. Nineveh, well, actually, if you'd listened carefully to your news over the past few weeks, you'll have heard Nineveh mentioned. Mosul in northern Iraq, where there have been some horrendous things happening recently. Mosul is just beside the ruins of Nineveh, on the banks of the River Tigris. That's where God asked Jonah to go. Northern Iraq. Jonah heads to Tarshish. Jonah heads to Spain. It's as far away as he can imagine from where God wants him to be. It's completely the opposite direction. And why does he go there? He goes there to flee from the Lord. Verse 3. God calls him to go to Nineveh. Jonah is the last thing he wants to do, so he turns right around and he heads to Tarshish. Why? To flee from God, to get away from the Lord. Jonah, how little you know. Listen to the psalmist. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Jonah, you think you can simply get up and walk out of God's presence, close the door behind you and keep God safely in that box? Where can I go? The answer, nowhere. Not even if you settle on the far side of the sea in Tarshish, Jonah, will you be able to flee from God. Now, sometimes we see this as a comforting thing, and it is a comforting thing that we can never be out of the presence of God, no matter where we go. It is a great comfort. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God's promise is to be with you. But it is also a disturbing thing, because there are times when we think, I'll just go. I'll just close this door and God won't see what I'm doing. I'll just head to Tarshish and there he'll not see that I'm disobeying him. How naive can we be? And as though to prove the point, verse 4, the Lord sent a great storm on the sea. Jonah, you think you can go across the sea and get away from God? Just watch. And the storm appears on the sea. Now, it was evidently a serious storm. It says in the Bible that even the ship threatened to break up. It was so bad. These are experienced sailors. They have probably been on the Mediterranean many, many times. They've probably been through many storms, but now they're terrified to the extent each one cries out to his own God. Each one prays in whatever way he knows. They're terrified. And they start throwing cargo overboard to try and lighten the ship. Meanwhile, where's old Jonah? Jonah's downstairs in his cabin, snoring. Sound asleep. The captain goes to him, wakes him up. Don't you care what's happening? What's going on here? And they draw lots between them to see who might cause this. It's a bit like drawing the short straw. Well, Jonah draws the short straw, and everybody looks at Jonah and says, well, it must be you. Who are you? What are you doing? Why has this happened to us? And there's 20 questions happens to find out what's gone on. Isn't it interesting? Jonah comes out with this wonderful statement. Jonah, who are you? I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He could have said 101 other things about himself. I'm the son of Amittai. I come from Gath Hepher. You may know it's a little village. But he doesn't. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the maker of sea and the land. It's a terrible truth that you can be quite orthodox in your beliefs and still be disobedient to God. You can be correct in your theology but rebellious in your heart. And that's where Jonah is. Jonah says, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made sea and land. This is the one I worship. But I'm not going to be obedient to him. I'm going the opposite direction. It is terrifyingly possible that we can be so correct in our theology, so orthodox in what we believe, and yet so disobedient to the call of God. Theology is important, but not as important as being obedient to the call of God upon our lives. So they ask what's to be done. And Jonah says, well, simply throw me over the side and then the storm will calm. Now, it's an amazing thing. These sailors, who you might think, well, we've thrown everything else overboard, we'll chuck Jonah over and maybe that'll help. The Bible actually says they set to and started to row. And according to some of the scholars, the word that they used was actually dig. And so it's as though they were digging deep with their oars to try and row their way to safety, try and get to land rather than throw Jonah overboard. An amazing compassion. Jonah said, look, throw me overboard and the problem's over. The sailors say, no, let's try and get to land. But they don't make it. And eventually they give in and Jonah's over the side. And the storm subsides. And these rough and ready sailors acknowledge who God is. They greatly feared the Lord. I'm going to leave Jonah over the side for this week. But there are some questions that I ask myself and that we can ask ourselves. What about us? Jonah refuses to allow God to stretch him beyond where he is at the minute. He refuses to allow God to broaden his horizons. He refuses to allow God to open his eyes to the possibility that God could love other people that Jonah didn't care for. Send somebody else. If you really do have to speak to Nineveh, send somebody else. Leave me at home. Leave me where I am. Is God challenging you to step out? Maybe in some new area of your life. Maybe in some new way of serving him. Maybe simply in sharing your faith gently with those around you. Is God challenging you to step out and do something that is outside your comfort zone? And you think, Lord, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather go to Tarshish than Nineveh. I'd rather stay comfortable than be pushed out of my comfort zone. You're being asked to do something that you've never done before. Being asked to do something that you're not really terribly comfortable to do. How do you respond when God calls you? Being obedient is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow spiritually. It's an opportunity to grow in our trust of God, because the basic question is, if I move outside my comfort zone, can I really trust God to be there with me? If I go to Nineveh, where I really do not want to go, Lord, will you be there with me? Can I trust God in this? Paul comes back to that question later in the book of Romans. When people wondered, will God really step up to the mark here? Can I really trust him to give me everything that I need? Can I really understand that his grace is sufficient for me? And Paul says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things?" God has shown us extravagant grace in Jesus Christ. He's given you his only son. Do you think now he's going to shortchange you? Do you think now he's going to hold back so that you haven't got what you need to be obedient, to serve him? "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Jonah had forgotten this. Jonah had forgotten that God had shown him extravagant grace and didn't really trust him. Let's not be the same. Let's remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The extravagant grace he has shown us. And remember that he will not sell us short. So when we do move out of our comfort zone, when we do step out to do that new, that different, that uncomfortable thing, God's promise is still there. "I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you." It's a truth that Jonah had to learn. It's a truth that we have to learn again and again. God calling you. Maybe calling you for the first time to put your trust in him, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe it's calling you to grow in your Christian life, to mature, develop, become more and more like Jesus. Is God calling you? Don't go the opposite way. There is nowhere you can go to flee from his Spirit. May God give us the grace, not just to hear the Maker's instructions, but to be obedient to them. And to him be all praise and glory. Amen.